Hey, what's up, everybody? Before we get into this episode, I have a quick ask. Please go to cityweekly.com and vote for the Will Wonder Pod as best local podcast in Utah. Last time, I think I said it at some point through the intro or maybe the outro, but I wanted to get it right from the jump. I'll have the link in the podcast description. You can find Best Local Podcast in the Media, People, and Politics section. Again, the thousands and thousands, or maybe hundreds, depending on the week, of listeners listening right now, go to cityweekly.com and vote the Will Wonder Pod for Best Local Podcast. Again, in the Media, People, and Politics section. Link in the podcast description. All right, now we can get into the show.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
It's Dre Rocka, 92.5 The Beat of Salt Lake, All Rock Media, and you are listening to the Will Wonder Pod.
Bars, let's go, y'all. This is Gabino Grimes, Mike Masters Alliance, Rap Battle's finest out here in Utah. And you are now listening to one of my best friends' podcasts, the Will Wonder Pod.
Real quick, let me just start off by saying this is Peter Rosenberg, your forever 24/7 champion, host of the GP Podcast. And I want to shout out the Will Wonder Podcast.
What's going on? This is Brisk Warner, and you're checking on my man DJ Will Wonder on the Will Wonder Podcast. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? This is Emerson Kennedy, world famous Scarlett Johansson lover, world renowned Jordan denier. And I hope you are tuning into my personal favorite podcast, the Will Wonder Podcast. That's my brother for real. He has terrible takes, but I'm still listening, man. Will, what's up?
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 134 of the Will Wonder Pod. Hope you all have been doing well since last week, enjoying the 50th birthday of hip hop. I know I have dropped the YouTube last week where we talked about the top 10 MCs in hip hop history. Then the audio version last Wednesday where we discussed the soundtrack to the first 50 years of hip hop. Got a lot of great feedback on that. Also got some feedback that was like, hey, how dare you leave out this song? And yeah, I know it was a tough exercise. Looking back at it, there were some songs where I'm like, damn, why didn't we add that or even bring it up? But it is what it is when you're in the moment. Thank you all for watching the YouTube, liking, subscribing, sharing, all of that. Really appreciate it. Helps me out a lot. This week we dropped, what you will hear later in the audio version today, the interview with my friend Gabby Okito, owner of Acomi Clothing. So make sure to check out the YouTube or you're going to hear the interview here in probably about 10 minutes. One sad note from last week. If you watch the YouTube video, I had talked about the first album I had bought with my own money, first hip-hop album I purchased with my own money, was Timbaland and Magoo's Welcome to Our World. Well, we found out a couple nights ago that Magoo had passed away at the age of 50. I haven't seen details as to why, but it's kind of weird as you get older and some of the people that, you know, you listen to or watched in movies or what have you are passing away. And 50s, you know, very, very young. And so rest in peace, Magoo, who really has a couple songs along with Timbaland in the soundtrack of my life for sure. A little bit of a back update. Thanks to everyone who reached out asking how I'm doing. Got the MRI done, and I spoke about that last week. Never want to do one of those again. But I'm still waiting to meet a specialist to see if they think I need surgery. I am optimistic that I don't. Have a lot of motion back in my leg, not walking with nearly as bad of a limp. No real pain whatsoever, just trying to get all the feeling back in my foot and the side of my leg, which sounds wild to say at the age of 37. But I just continue to do these stretches. Continue to wait on a call from a specialist. I won't get into how like this whole thing is super annoying where you go see a doctor and they do an x-ray. Then you have to go see this person and get an MRI. And then you go back to the doctor and the doctor's like, hey, I don't make the call on surgery. You need to go see a specialist. Okay, well, the specialist is a month out. Yada, yada. Anyways, I feel confident that I won't need surgery. But if I do, I'll let you guys know. And you'll know because more than likely, we'll miss a week of an episode. All right, moving on from the back stuff. Also, my wife made fun of me that I put the x-ray of my back in the Instagram at the Will Wonder Pod reel to promote last week's episode. But I talked about it. You know, I'm not out here like just asking for sympathy, just letting you all know what it looks like. Anyways, moving on. Back to school is starting pretty much now, next 2 weeks, depending on how old your kid is, what school they go to, all of that. There was a post that I saw, and I don't know who originally posted this, Wallow from, I believe it's called $100 Million Worth of Game podcast, had posted this, and I thought it was really important, so I wanted to read it on here. If you hadn't seen it, I did share it on the Will Wonder Pod Instagram, but simply this is what it says. Parents, school is almost starting, and I want to ask you a favor. Sit down with your child for 5 minutes and explain that there is no reason to make fun of someone for being tall, short, chubby, skinny, black, white, Hispanic, autistic, etc. There's nothing wrong with wearing the same shoes every day. Explain to them that a used backpack carries the same dreams as a new one. Please teach them not to exclude anyone for being different or not having the same possibilities as another. Explain to them that teasing hurts and that school is for learning and not to compete. You and I are worth the same. Education starts at home. This is super important to me now, especially my son is starting kindergarten at the end of the month, and I don't want to get into that because I'll get all emotional about that as well. But it's very, very important to teach your kids at home simply how to act right and be a good person. I do believe that all of this starts at home on how you raise your children. So please just do as much as you can. Explain to your kids that being a good person is more important than trying to be cool, and in the long run, being caring, compassionate, nice, empathetic are some of the most important things you can be. Again, my son's starting kindergarten at the end of the month. As my wife and I, anxious, scared, excited, all of the above. So wanted to pass that message along. Not like most of my listeners need to hear it, but maybe you do. Maybe you just are busy and you didn't even think about it. You thought, hey, they know. Sometimes we all just need a good reminder. All right, moving on to what most of you come to this podcast for, some sports talk, some good old sports talk. Let's start out with the NBA. NBA is much further off from starting than the NFL, but boy, James Harden out there in China. Let's play the clip of what he said.
Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization of any sport. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of.
Sheesh, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he is a part of again. Now, James Harden, Daryl Morey seem to have had a really good relationship going back to Houston, finding his way to Philly, and I've never been a Daryl Morey fan, the way that he has run organizations. He's a GM, for those who don't know, so he's in charge of trades, player personnel, coaches, all that type of stuff. But also, this would be the third time James Harden has said, hey, I don't want to play for this organization anymore. Now, I don't know what happened between him and Morey, but I don't know. If I'm Philly, like at this point, you have to move him, right? I don't know. The Dame stuff has gotten quiet, by the way, but maybe Dame now says, I don't like this GM. I don't know what happens there. I think Dame is a much different player, much cut from a different cloth than what James Harden would be, I should say. Not to say that they're both not amazing players, because they are. So where do we go from here? I don't know. But for him to say that, and that was in China, by the way, and they are not a fan of Daryl Morey out in China. So who knows? We will see what happens with the James Harden saga. But it doesn't look like he will be in Philly much longer. Daryl Morey seems like a very pride-driven human being from all the interviews that I've heard him on, the way he talks. So at this point, I would assume he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Get rid of him. Even though Philly said we are not trading James Harden just a week ago. This is James saying, yeah, you are trading me. Get me out of here. Moving on to some NFL news. NFL starts, I mean, the preseason's going on now, but the actual season, we are less than a month away, which is crazy to me. But let's get into some of the movement that just recently happened in the running back position. We get Dalvin Cook, who, man, a couple of fumbles here. I think Minnesota truly fumbled in just letting him go, not getting anything for him. And I spoke about this, I think, a month ago, whenever it did happen on the podcast, where they already had said, we're letting him go if we can't get anything for him. One of the top five running backs in the league. I know he's getting older. Running backs aren't looked at the same. You could have got something for him. So fumble number one, Minnesota Vikings. Fumble number two, Miami Dolphins. It seemed like Dalvin Cook was all but ready to, you know, go to his condo in South Beach and just play for Miami. They don't sign him. He goes to the New York Jets. Join Aaron Rodgers. Join some of that backfield that they have there. Breece Hall, who is coming off a torn ACL. And if you remember last year, I think he played 5 weeks, but was just looked amazing. So I think this Cook signing gives him some insurance, letting Hall slowly work back into the mix, which is very smart of them. And the Jets might be kind of scary. They were pretty good last year with no quarterback between Mike White and Zach Wilson. Now you have Aaron Rodgers, who without a doubt isn't the same Aaron Rodgers, you know, from 5 years ago, but still much, much better than Zach Wilson. So again, I think the Jets are going to be tough, but we'll save some more in-depth football talk for the beginning of September when we do our NFL preview pod. Speaking of that preview pod, Chacon will be joining me. Chacon's boy, Ezekiel Elliott, the one who he has loved ever since he showed up to the draft in that mid-drift belly shirt and was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, as Robert Chacon would say. He signs a 1 year with the New England Patriots. Now, he's definitely not the same Ezekiel Elliott he was, you know, just 2 years ago. But I think it is a solid signing for the Pats to have him in that running back rotation. Stevenson's still going to be their guy. But I thought it would be fun on the podcast. Let's give our boy Chacon a call because he loved Zeke. Okay? He loved Zeke. Like, I don't know, on the top 10 Cowboys of all time, I think Zeke's in there for his love for a player. Now, I don't know if he would necessarily say he was like a top 10 skilled player for the Cowboys in the history of the organization, but for his love for a Dallas Cowboys player, I think it's easily top 10 for Zeke. So, fuck it. Let's give our boy Robert Chacon a call. See where his head's at and how he's feeling.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Chacon, it's your friend here from the Will Wonder Pod, and you're live. So don't say.
Oh, I wonder why you're calling me, bud.
Don't, yeah. Well, I know your contract officially doesn't start until the end of the month. What I wanted to call and talk about just for a few minutes, as our fans know, people have been reaching out since the news broke yesterday. Wanted to make sure you're okay with, you know, Ezekiel Elliott signing with the Patriots, the end of an era, which ended kind of bad for him, as a lot of people remember in San Francisco. But, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time here, but can you just give me some of your thoughts, how you're feeling about Zeke now being a Patriot, no longer wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey?
Well, the thing is, as a fan and me seeing in the past what the moves my team has done in the past, and it's been hard for me to swallow, it's the move that you need to make. My guy's 27. He's played 7 years in the league. And I've always said, because of what I've been told and what I've learned, is you don't sign a, this is what I think. You don't sign a running back after 26 years old. Now, depending on when he gets drafted and how old and whatever, it sucks, man. But you know what? He had 7 years in Dallas. I mean, let's be honest, because of his contract, he hurt a lot of the veteran running backs getting signed right now. As you see, you know, you see a couple one-year deals, and seeing how much we paid my guy, that it backfired. You know, we didn't get the zig we wanted. He's claiming he was injured last year. Well, bro, you were injured the year before. You know, he lost weight, gained muscle. So it just sucks. But I'm not hurt, because you know what? He's New England.
Yeah.
He's in the AFC. So if he played for Philly or, like, you know, someone in the NFC, I probably would have been more bugged. But yeah, I'm happy to see him still play, even though he's not wearing a Cowboys uniform.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. You know, you seem like you're okay with it at this point. Before I called you, I had told everyone who's listening that I don't know if you think he's like a top 10 all time, but as far as your love for him, it might be a top 10 Dallas Cowboys love. Would that be accurate?
Ooh, that's a good question, Doug.
Because I said, you know, you got like Troy Aikman, obviously, Emmitt, Michael Irvin, Jason Witten, Deion Sanders. But I was like, I think Zeke's got to be a top 10. Like, you love that dude. Roy Williams, obviously.
Well, Roy, that's a personal opinion of mine. Roy, I mean, it'd be close. I wouldn't say it's an easy, you know, thing to say Roy Williams is in the top 10, because, you know, we have so many Hall of Famers.
No. I don't mean talent wise. I mean your favorites.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Your favorites.
If that's the case, then yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. But here's the thing: people need to understand. Like, it's hard for me to answer that question, because now you're asking me my opinion. Yeah, but right off the gate, the dude was, you know, putting up historic numbers, especially for the franchise. But let's be honest: the last 4 or 5 years, I've been, you know, fighting for my guy, and I haven't been getting what I wanted. So, you know, it sucks to, you know, admit that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, bro, he's going to New England. You know, he only had one visit from any team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's gonna go in replacing Damien Harris, which is basically it's the same player. I mean, in a way, not talent wise, but as far as size wise.
Yeah.
You know,
so I think he'll get a lot of goal line touches. You know,
exactly. That's gonna be the exactly role. He's known for pass protection, right? Probably the best in the NFL. And he's short yardage, you already know, in the red zone. And sadly, I found out last year, my guy had 7 touchdowns on the 1 yard line. So that just shows you, like, I mean, that's really what he's known for, right? But he's playing still, right? He's going to prove the NFL. He's still that guy. He changed his number, right? So now he's 15, like back in his days, in his Buckeye years. And it's a 1 year deal. You know, he got up to $6 million with incentives.
Yeah.
So if it works out, you know, he can sell and make some of that money. And it's kind of crazy, because now a little bit of me kind of regrets selecting the Jets game instead of New England. Because now he's going to have a homecoming game versus Dallas. I want to say it's like week 4 or week 3. I can't remember. But
when's the Jets game?
The Jets game is September 17th.
Oh, nice. So it's week 2 then. Week 2. Nice.
Yeah. You know, you would think I know all the whole schedule, but, you know, unfortunately it doesn't matter, because my team, you know, this is our year. Like, seriously, like, I don't want to go there, because I know usually I say that every year, but no, seriously, this time there's just something about this team.
Okay.
That I really feel that it's our year, you know.
You all in on Tony Pollard?
Have to be, Doug. You know, I'm a little nervous about his injury, right?
He's
fully recovered. He's practicing. He's doing his thing. But, you know, if you wear the star, I support you. If you don't, you know, I don't. But I'm in an exception to Zeke, I will, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, my guy Dez Bryant, I know this is going to sound really bad, but it hurt me that he even got signed to the Saints. So when he went down, I was happy not to see him wearing a Saints uniform.
Wow. Okay.
That's real selfish of me. So,
yeah, it is. Okay, last question. Are you going to frame 2 things? Are you going to frame a Zeke jersey? And also, are you going to frame the belly shirt that you wore to support Zeke when he was drafted?
You know, Doug, usually I would reply by saying, who's Zeke Elliott? Because I tend to forget names when they're not
You're never going to forget him.
Yeah. No, I'm not. And as far as what you're talking about, I don't know. I mean, it was just a shirt that I cut up, Doug. So that shirt's gone.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of memorabilia of Zeke because I've learned my lesson in the past years of buying players. And then, you know, with NFL now, you know, you don't have long-term players staying on one team. And, I mean, I think I have a couple, maybe figurines or something like that, memorabilia of him. But, you know, I'll be all right.
All right. Well, I'm glad you have a positive outlook on this. And, you know, we'll have you and Hoop back towards the very, very beginning of September to do our NFL preview pod. But other than that, anything you want to say to the people until then?
I want you guys to look into one of my favorite players right now.
Okay.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn. I don't want to get more, you know, into this guy. You should probably just look him up, seeing how small he is. This guy might be a problem because, you know, as big as that front line that Philly has and claim and they're, you know, whatever, that guy gets through, man. I don't know if you've been watching some of this preseason and practice, bro. That might be something special. So we might have gotten the gem of the draft. But as far as anything else I have, no.
Okay. All right. Well, Deuce Vaughn. I'm surprised you didn't say remember the name because that's usually your thing. But Deuce Vaughn.
It's tough. I'm a little worried to say that, Doug, because you know what? My guy is quick as shit.
Yeah.
But if he gets hit, he might be dead because he's a little guy.
Yep. All right, man. So, well, hey, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, we'll have you back on here in, it's 2 weeks.
All right, man. I'll be waiting.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
You have it. Seems like he's doing okay. Maybe he was just trying to stay strong for the listeners. But I just know in the past when, you know, one of his favorite players leaves the team, it's generally a hard week afterwards for my boy Chacon. But seems like he's all good. Again, he will be back in just about 2 weeks. Hoop and Chacon, we will do a full preview of the NFL season, which is always one of the funnest and honestly one of the most listened to episodes of the year. So I will keep you all updated on that when that is coming out. But again, I think it's about 2 weeks. I don't know. I just looked over at the calendar. I can't tell, but it's very, very soon. All right. Next up, we will get into the interview with my guy, Gabby Okito. For the audio listeners, he was the third guest on the third episode, one of my first guests I ever had on the podcast when he had Okito Brand. We talk about what happened to Okito Brand, the birth of his new clothing line, Akomi, fashion in general, what goes into releasing a collection for a designer, and a number of other things. So I hope you enjoy it. Again, make sure to subscribe to the Will Wonder Pod YouTube. You can see this interview, but I know some folks just enjoy listening to the interviews, not really lovers of YouTube, which is fine as well. So thank you all. Here is my interview with Gabby Okito. All right, we're going to go ahead and do a take two on this because my recorder turned off. I have a very, very special guest today. He was on the third episode of the Will Wonder Pod. We did a very in-depth interview about his life. I wasn't very good on that episode. Don't judge me by it. It is what it is. I've gotten much better. He did great, though. So go back and listen to that if you want a full in-depth story of his life. He is a father. He's a husband, former college soccer player, owner of Akomi, Gabby Okito. Gabby, thank you for doing this again.
Of course, man. Let's get it.
Don't know, we did about 4 minutes just now, and it wasn't recording. So you know what?
Hey, they don't got to know.
That's right. You ain't got to know shit. But I do appreciate you doing this, having me in your home.
Of course.
I always like hanging out with you. You're a great human being. I think that's...
Thank you.
You know, you have a lot of people that do a lot of cool stuff, especially within Salt Lake. Some of them aren't the best people, you know, they and maybe that's because they're protecting themselves.
Yeah.
But for you, you've always been a great guy. When I first met you, had no idea what you even did. Didn't know you did clothing, but it was just, you know, mutual friends, obviously.
Yes.
Got to DJ your wedding.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, and it's just, since then, it's just been really cool getting to know you, and I can always lean on you for advice on certain things and
yes.
trying to get ideas from you.
Yeah, it's great. It goes more than that. You know, our families know, you know, each other, and
yeah.
it's, you know, our kids are growing up together.
Yeah.
So it's way more than just, you know, friendship. It's, you know, we're growing together.
Right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so everyone in Salt Lake City, or maybe even obviously outside of Salt Lake City, if you're a jazz fan, you were familiar with Okito brand from the Cold Shoulder tees and hoodies.
Yeah.
Or if you're just a fan of fashion, you paid attention to the scene, you knew what Okito brand was. Okito brand is no longer around. Can you give the people an idea why that is?
Yeah, of course. So I had partners in the business, and it didn't end up working out. It became legal, so it's something that I just kind of had to fold and start something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, creative-wise, when you get into all these legals and documents and agreements, it just hurts the process.
Yeah.
And now it feels much better that it's like it's in a clean slate, and
mm-hmm.
It's moving, where I don't have to worry about what this other person think or this other, you know, it's just more like, all right, this is the vision and that's how we're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. We won't get into, you know, details of that. The one question I do have about it though, your actual name being attached to it.
Yes.
Was that tough for you?
Yes, that was hard because for me, it was like, you know, this was going to be something that I was going to do my whole life. You
right.
know, Okito is my last name. So that's why I attached myself to the brand, because I was that invested into the brand. So it took me a good year to kind of really realize that it's now it's going to be no more and I have to do something new. And as a creative, I love the challenge. But just looking from the outside, it was really dark for me because I was so attached to the brand.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Last name. But the thing is, it led me to a path where I could create more. Because, for example, the Cold Shoulder, that design came out of frustration because the jazz players were like, yeah, I'm going to wear your stuff, cool, and they never did it. So
yeah.
I kind of created something out of that. The Cold Shoulder, that's what I was getting from them. I'm always pushed to create with any situation, whether it's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just another opportunity to create something out of something that was dark, that was sad, but there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Luckily and not luckily, I don't really have any partners in the Will Wonder Pod, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll have to make sure I get the right shit in writing.
Oh, for sure.
When that does happen, so I can keep that name.
For sure.
All right, let's get into Okomi then.
Yes.
How does that come to be? Because you did take a little bit of time off, at least, and I don't want to say you took time off,
mm-hmm.
because in any type of creative process, as I know, I mean, I technically took the last 40 days off, took
yeah.
it off, but I've been doing a lot of things
of course
to get this up and running the way I want it to. So what was that time off like? How did you get your head right? And then how do we get to Okomi?
So basically the lawsuit came in around, I would say, August, and by December I already had the idea of Okomi.
Mm.
Like I said, again, as a creative, your mind never stops moving.
Yeah.
You're always looking to create whatever it is. So it's a God-given talent that I'm able to create. So, yeah, it was literally 4 months, 5 months after that. I was like, okay, well, something new has got to start. I didn't tell my wife because, I mean, it was really dark. You know,
yeah.
It was very hard for me. So I just was creating internally and just... It happened naturally.
Mm.
And I think it was supposed to happen that I didn't have these partners with me and I was supposed to start something new. Because I believe in fate. I believe in destiny. And it just was supposed to happen that I had to do something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Okomi? What does that mean to you? What's kind of the idea behind the brand?
Okomi means to arrive in my native language in Lingala from the DR Congo. So to arrive, meaning that I've been in this coding game for a while, that I've arrived,
But my motto for Akomi is arriving is the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that back to me being an immigrant. When I, you know, the biggest thing getting to the U.S. is like you, your dreams came true. But once you come to the U.S., that's when, that's the starting point to starting whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So like any example, I take this example as a high school student that wants to get into, let's say, University of Utah. The goal was to get to the University of Utah. But once you get there, once you arrive, that's your starting point to your next goal. And that's the ethos of the brand, where everything has a starting point, but you never stop growing and making new goals for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what I'm about, because, again, I was in the game for about 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
So my thing was saying, I've arrived. And the same as my story being an immigrant, I've arrived. That's the starting point. So it's always an ongoing goal, no matter where you are in life. So even if you're this big CEO, Mark Zuckerberg guy, he's always pushing.
Yeah.
They're always pushing. And that's an example that I try to showcase through my brand.
I think a lot of people lose that once they've made it or once they've arrived, a lot of people will let off the gas.
Oh, yeah.
And you just can't do that.
Yeah, definitely. Because that was my biggest challenge, to basically saying I've arrived, I'm here, I'm in the clothing game, I've done these cool projects with cool people, but you're still starting somewhere,
mm-hmm.
wherever part you are. I mean, even the biggest players in the world of sports or entertainment, they're always pushing for the next thing.
Yeah.
So that's the ethos I want to give to my customers, to the people that are just fans of the brand. So always push. Arriving is the starting point.
Yeah. You had your first release, and I have, you know, a lot of your clothes. And
yeah,
I love
obviously.
Them. Yeah, yeah, and I love them. Going into your first release with Akomi,
yeah,
are you nervous? Do you feel kind of like you're, you know, you're in your, I don't, for lack of a better word, in your bag? Do you feel like you have a good balance and motion of what you want to put out? Or is it nerves from that start?
I was super confident because I knew what I could deliver from my previous experiences. And Akomi is a much more elevated experience for the customer than Okito was. Mm. Okito was very product-based, but Akomi is very experience-based. So it all comes with, you know, the way the stuff is shipped, how it's packaged, how it looks. So it's an elevated brand compared to my last one, because I've learned so much, and mostly I put myself in the customer's shoe.
Mm.
So I think I was very confident because it was very elevated from my last brand.
Mm.
So I knew the customer was getting something more than that the previous got from me. So that was exciting for me because I really pushed myself not to look like the older brand. I pushed myself to look like something that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Quality that I've never touched before. So that was where I knew it was going to be something exciting, because it was way more elevated than something I've ever done. It was challenging.
This may be an obvious answer to this question, but why is that important to you?
It's important to me because, like I said, there's always a starting point. You always have to push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, pushing myself meant better experience, better product, better outcome. Because once you learn from something you've done, you know what could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
You never sit back and say, yeah, this was great. Thank you. Let's do it again. There's always something that needs to be fixed, touched up, you know. So that's how I kind of live my life too, you know, through my relationships, through everything. There's always something better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that said, and I'm this way with this type of stuff, but are you ever satisfied with your work, or you see something that goes out and you're like, damn, I should have just changed this? Is that
yeah,
tough for you?
There's both ways.
Yeah.
Whatever I put out, I always make sure to the last second that this is what I want to put out. But there's always something that could be fixed. Mm-hmm. Something that could have been done through the production, through the design, through the sampling. But again, this is a tricky part because creatives, we want to be so perfect that you never end up doing anything from trying to perfect something.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, look at you from the first podcast that we did to you now. Like you come here, like I'm impressed with all the gear you have and everything else, you know? Yeah, So drop that thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Release it. Put it out there because it can only get better. Because if you're trying to make it perfect, it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like anything, it's unrealistic. Nothing will be perfect. But you just have to put yourself out there. Then you can get the feedback. I think that's what a lot of people are scared of. But once you pass that threshold of like, oh, someone said it sucks. Well, you can make it better. Yeah. That's where you start.
Yeah.
That's your starting point.
Yeah.
Then you can always push forward. So, yeah, I think it's perfection is the it's evil in the creative world. Mm-hmm. Because then what it does, it makes you hold on. And you don't show your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Who do you have, obviously outside of yourself, who do you have that you will run ideas by or maybe show them samples of what you're thinking about to get either confirmation or just feedback on your work?
Of course, my wife gets it all. Yeah. You know, she gets like, I'm not sure about this. What should I do about this? Well, yeah. You know, but I have friends, you know, that are into the clothing world or just the product world, and I ask and bounce things off them and kind of let them know, what do you think about this? How does this mm-hmm. fit? How does this look? You know? But yeah, there's always people you got to bounce your ideas off.
Yeah.
Don't hold it in because then you try to make it so good that it becomes bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's always people, you know, just, and it doesn't have to be the fashionista or, you know, just a regular person. Like, hey, how does this quality look to you?
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Because at the end of the day, most of my customer base are people that think, oh, it's cool. And it's not the person that's buying clothes every week because they're already onto so many different brands that it's hard for them to come into a Comey. So I try to be very open with that.
Yeah. You're getting more out and about, right?
Yeah.
Your name is definitely out there. The clothing line is definitely out there. Not to say that Okito wasn't, but Okito came at a time, at least when I started to attach to it. Obviously, COVID was still happening. So there wasn't a lot of, hey, let's go out to this event. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's have a fashion show. You've done a number of fashion shows.
Yes.
And different events.
Yes.
The event I want to start with is when All-Star Weekend was here in February here in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff you did then. Speak to that a little bit. I know you partnered with some people, but I thought it was a very cool thing that you did around that time.
Yeah, it was super cool. So, excuse me. So, around, I would say last year of July, I was like, the whole world is coming to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, no doubt. Know?
And as a creative, I was like, I have to showcase no matter what. And it was really hard to find a space because, I mean, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, like everyone was here and they took every venue possible.
Right.
So I had no option. So I started to ask around friends who had businesses, business owners. And luckily, I befriended a good friend of mine to this day. Her name is Renya Nelson. She owns a brand called Brand Aid, where they kind of manufacture for brands and make things for brands. She was so nice to me. And she saw my vision right away. And she said, yes, you can use my space. It's a warehouse space. So we had to turn it into something that looked great. And that was a true blessing because, I mean, they were charging out the ass for any space here because, it was prime, you know. So Rania was an angel to me and she let me use her space, literally opened up her business to me. And that was the go from there. And I hit up a friend of mine. His name is Shane Long from Vancouver, BC, Canada. We met through Discord. Through a streetwear Discord thing, and we became friends throughout the years. I met him around the pandemic, and I told him, hey, I'm doing a pop-up shop for All-Star Weekend. Let's do something. And, man, I just love the people that I work with because he was like, well, my brand could do it, but I have a friend that has a brand that's basketball based. You know, and he basically assisted me with a good friend of mine. Now he owns a brand that's called Double Dribble. His name is Albert. And we ended up doing a collab together, and we told a story about immigration, how it's linked with basketball. Because nowadays, I mean, the last MVPs of the league were immigrants. Literally came here not being Americans. And that story, we told it through how basketball impacted immigrants when they came here as young kids. Albert, for example, that was a way for him to integrate himself into his community. I use soccer to integrate into the community with, you know. So it's just basically, the goal was to tell a story about immigration, how it's linked with basketball. And we had a motto that said, somehow we're all just immigrants trading one place for another. And basically what that meant is anyone can relate to that. Someone that came from California to Utah, someone that came from New York to LA, you know, it's, we're trading spaces to make a better life for ourselves. So we ended up doing hoodies, socks, t-shirts. And it was great. The impact was awesome. And we, the best thing for me that weekend, we did a camp with South Sudan Elite. It's basically a nonprofit to give kids a chance. Because, you know, right now it's all AAU basketball. And if you don't make it, you're kind of forgotten about. These kids are, they're good too, but they just don't have the exposure.
Right.
They don't have the spotlight. So we did a camp, and it was so cool. I was so fulfilling. We did t-shirts for them, and these kids, when they got t-shirts, because you could tell they're from the west side of Salt Lake, and there's no love there.
Yeah.
Even the whole world came in here, and no one cared about those kids.
Yeah.
Like, legit, it was like, NBA had a camp, and it was like, all the rich kids that were able to attend.
Oh, yeah, because you had to pay. And
you know, and I was just grateful to be able to give back to the community, of the immigrant community. And they were so grateful to even to receive a t-shirt, you know, that we cared about them. And they were thanking us all day. And it was so fulfilling to me. And that's how I knew I was doing something right. It was less about the clothes. It was more about the community that were growing here. So shout out to Albert from Double Dribble. Shout out to Shane from Adapture. Those guys came in here. They were so resourceful. They found couches on KSL. They, I mean, I'm talking about like, they came in here and just did it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they helped me out with everything. So the pop-up ended up being dope. We showed the All-Star game, the dunk contest. We had sponsors from beer company. It was just cool. Bartender. I mean, my whole family helped out.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love that.
Legit was a good pop-up.
You've since then, I don't want to overshadow that. That especially doing stuff for the community. I think, again, going back to once people get to a certain point in whatever they're doing, if they're a creative, whatever it may be, they don't necessarily do that enough. So I want to commend you on that. That was very cool. Hopefully you know, you do these things again.
For sure.
And anything I can do to help out, obviously.
For sure.
I want to. You've been doing a lot more fashion shows.
Yes.
You know, and that is something that's always so interesting to me because I'm not, you know me, Gabby.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I buy your stuff, right? But I don't know shit about fashion, okay? And you know that. Once I get, once this podcast becomes huge and I become a millionaire, you're gonna get my clothes for me, okay?
Let's go. Can we do that? That works.
Yeah, because then at that time I need to look good all the time. but fashion shows are such a trip to me because everyone's sitting watching these clothes, you know, your clothing come out, the models come out, walking. Yeah. But it seems like a very cool experience. As someone who would know nothing about fashion, what's the idea behind the fashion show, and maybe go into some of those people that you invite, some of those people that you want there. Why do you want those people there? And then the idea of the fashion show itself.
Yeah, so I think it's more of an art installation. It's more of art that's put onto certain people's body.
Yeah.
To showcase what it looks like. Because fashion shows, I mean, let's be real. The way the models walk, it's unrealistic. No one walks like that around the street. So it's an expose. It's to make the stuff that they're wearing look way elegant than what it really is. And fashion shows is more of to make the creators and the people attending feel special.
Mm.
It is exactly what it is. It's the same thing as being courtside at a basketball game. Because let's be real, the basketball players, they train all year for you to see them perform.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just that you're entertained in a really, you know, a really well-established place that looks nice and everyone feels good. Everyone dressed well. So it's all that goes in it.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end of fashion shows, there's a lot of chaos. I can imagine. But that's part of it, you know? And in my fashion shows, you know, I always make the models feel like this is not a fashion show.
Mm.
Because then if you put that title behind the fashion show, there's a lot of anxiety that comes with it.
Uptight.
It's like, so it's like, guys, just relax. We're just walking and showcasing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, you're just in the street, like, with your best fit on.
Yeah.
How you gonna walk? You're downtown. You know, there's people looking at you. How you gonna walk? You know, so I always make them feel more outside of the fashion show and more just like in the street because that's my clothes. Like you wearing the stuff right now, you're not going to be puckering your lips and have your shoulders high. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe you guys would like to see that. But it's, you know, it's more of just like showcase what the clothes would really look like when you're wearing the street. And that's what I always tell my models. And it ends up working out really well because they are comfortable. They're less uptight. And the show ends up being really good.
Yeah.
You know, so overall, it's just a big expose to make people there feel great.
Yeah.
And also see good art.
Yeah.
You know, and good finishing on clothes and things like that. So overall, it's to make people feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them excited about the brand and new drop.
Yes.
Speaking of new, you just recently released your summer collection. What goes into making a collection? Like, because are you planning on dropping like spring, summer, fall, winter every quarter?
Yeah, kind of like around the season.
Okay,
but I'm not confined to dates and like this needs to drop then this that. You know, I mean, I just dropped my summer collection last week.
Yeah,
and we've been into summer for about a month.
Yeah, it's been 100 degrees straight for 3 fucking weeks, but
tell me about
that's
it.
That's a whole other thing. We won't get into that.
So I mean, basically, when I drop a collection, I try to make it really resonate, every piece resonate with each other. So I have a pair of sunglasses that matches with the summer knitwear shirt button up, and I have canvas shorts that matches well with the t-shirt that I made. So they're all cohesive and all complement each other. So a collection is really to make it look like if you were a person that would shop the whole collection, you will have about 20 to 30 looks from that collection. So collections are made so you can see yourself wearing pieces in different ways. So you can have, all right, for summer, this is my collection.
Yeah.
And it goes into people's personal wardrobe too. It's like, if you already have a piece that I've dropped already, let's say you have a t-shirt that you already got for your summer, so that won't be in your summer collection.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll buy something else to match what you have in your closet. So basically how I design is I make sure that I can complement closets, you know? Where it's like, oh, all right, well, I have shorts already, but I don't have that button up.
Yeah.
I don't have these sunglasses. And I make sure the colors that I use can be used all the way across. It's not where you have a bright yellow piece and it's like, oh, I can only wear this once, because if I wear it in the next 2 weeks, people are going to be like, yo, you have this piece already, you know?
Yeah,
so you got to make sure they all match up with each other mm-hmm. and blend in really well. So let's say you have a white t-shirt, right? You can wear that week after week after week mm-hmm. after week because it's a nice piece.
Yeah.
And you can always play it around with your closet.
Yeah.
So collections are that's the main thing about collections, because you see the customer wearing it in different ways, but it doesn't scream loud. Of course, I have pieces where it's like, yeah, you can only wear this once a month.
Sure.
You know, but most of it is to make it look like it's for the whole summer.
Mm.
And you can blend it and mix and match it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The hardest thing for me when it comes to doing this is yeah. making sure I have different outfits on.
Yeah.
Because I'm very, like, I have my favorite shit that I wear.
Yeah.
That's why you've seen this hat in a number of videos.
Yeah, of course.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, making sure you have a rotation.
Yes.
And being able to change things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's tough. I've been buying, you know, just random, like, black tees. Or I'll just wear, like, my Will Wonder Pod shirt or your stuff. That's all I'm wearing on these episodes.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, like, this whole thing is around just what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're pushing it too hard where you're like, oh my gosh, this is so tight, but it's this brand that everyone loves and
yeah.
I'm wearing it for other people,
mm-hmm.
it's never going to hit.
Right.
It's never going to hit. So always, for me, it's like, you got to wear something you love.
Yeah.
You know, for example, today, I have my own brand, right?
Yeah.
But I wore this t-shirt. It's not my brand.
Yeah.
But it's just how I felt today.
Mm-hmm.
It's from my friend Shane. It's Adapture. But that what worked with what my fit looked like.
Right.
So it's just, you have to be comfortable in what you're wearing. Or if you're the brand whore, you're just, I mean, let's be real.
Is that me right now?
No. I mean, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
you wear this
because
you like it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was too tight, too loose, you know, some people wear brands because it's what's cool.
Right, right, right.
And it's about what you like, not what other people like. You know, there's some guy that wear Hanes t-shirts all day, every day.
Sure.
But he's happy.
Yeah.
It works for him.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Just do what makes you happy. Okay.
There you go.
Wear what makes you happy.
Cliche, but.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
What's next for Acomi? What do you, again, you know, obviously just dropped the summer collection, but mm-hmm. what's next? What are the plans for the future?
Man, there's a lot of things happening. So I think New York Fashion Week is starting in September, and I'm hopefully going to be doing a pop-up there.
Wow.
I have good friends there in New York that are, you know, helping me put this together. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. Of course, fall, winter is coming out, so probably drop something around the holidays, you know, when it's time to buy
new
stuff,
no,
you know.
That's when I send people, my mom, the link. Mom, here you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, it's cool. And the thing is with Acomi, so just to let you guys know, and you as yourself, so Acomi, the front end of what you see is the cool, like, you know, I do really custom pieces, design pieces, and collections. But on the back end, I produce for a lot of companies.
Mm.
A lot of clothing companies that come to me, whether it's just like your regular alarm company down the street or your fashionable company in New York. I produce for a lot of these people because, like I said, I've been in the game for so long. And one of my fortes is I'm really good at producing around the world.
Mm.
So a lot of my pieces that you see, they're put together in different types of places around the world. For example, I just did loafers right now.
Mm. Wow.
The leather was purchased in Italy because it's one of the best tanneries that I've seen in my life. And I took it to China to assemble because they're really good at that. So I have a lot of customers that are coming to me so I can produce for them. So there's a lot of projects that I work with that it's not the front-facing Acomi.
Yeah.
But I do have Acomi production where I'm just always running things for clients and companies.
Mm.
So that's always ongoing. Shameless plug here. So if you need something,
yeah,
let me know. I'd be happy to help or show you the right direction. So I have that going, and Okomi, the front end of what you see is that's me. That's my brain.
Yeah.
That's what I see as far as where I hate to use the word fashion because fashion is such a short thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it changes every year because
yeah.
It's kind of ugly.
I was going to bring something up about that here in a minute.
Yeah. It's not the best looking thing. Yeah. You know, it's very, for now.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to develop styles.
Right.
You know, for example, as far as what Jerry Lorenzo did with his brand, the oversized was not in before he came in and like, hey, I have fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to start wearing this.
Yeah.
And it was weird. But now it's, yo, everywhere. I want my oversized hoodie. Where is it at? Yo, Zara, come on. You know what I mean? It's normal.
Yeah.
When I'm saying Zara, that means it's mainstream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about curating style and less fashion.
Yeah.
Probably sound like I'm all over the place, but...
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Before we get into these rapid-fire questions, I said I was going to ask you something about fashion. So there was many years, right, where jorts were cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all wore jorts, and they've been clowned on for years. And I feel, and this is why I come to you, because you know this shit.
Yeah.
I feel like people are wearing jorts again. Am I okay to pull out the stuff that's been in that drawer?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Right. I mean, you got to think how this works.
Can you tell my wife?
Yeah. Yo, how? Come on now. Jorts are in. It's got about a month, though.
Yeah. And
it's,
and then they're gone. Yeah. But, you know?
So, it's generation with styles.
Yeah.
So, for example, growing up, skinny jeans was like, when I got introduced, people were like, yo, what the hell is this?
Right.
Take the shit out of here. Because it was like G-Unit 50 Cent, you know, baggy, all the vocal stuff, you know, Nelly. And it's generations. Because this generation now, they've seen skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
They've known is skinny jeans.
Right.
And as creatives, as people that want to see something new, they go back to stuff they never seen in real life before.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the 90s are coming back
because
we've seen the 90s. We don't want it to come back. But someone that's 20, someone that's 22,
didn't have
he's
it.
Like, yo, that's dope.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. So that's how style works.
Mm-hmm.
Every 20 years, it comes around.
Mm.
Every 20 years, then sometimes there's a shift of we go back to 40 years.
Got it.
So I will never be the old dude that's like, yo, man, I used to wear this. This sucks. Because you don't determine that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not our space anymore. I mean, for example, I'm 33 now.
Yeah.
And I know where I stand. I know I used to wear skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wear baggy jeans, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I put the tape on my freaking, under my eye.
You had the Nelly.
Because it was cool. All
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's whack now if someone does it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was like, yo.
Yeah.
You know? So never judge. I never judge on trends and styles and stuff because it's what's in. It's what's in.
Yeah.
Don't fight it. Just let it happen.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Next time you see me on this program, I'm wearing jorts, okay?
I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it, you know? But for me, it's like, if it's in, it's in.
Yeah.
Let it go. G-Shock was in at one point, right? They'll come back.
You know what else was in for me was Nike Dunks in like 2010 through 2012, and all my friends made fun of me.
Where it was $75.
Yeah, they said, why are you wearing? And now I swear to God, every time I'm on Nike or any app, it's like new dunks, and you can't even buy them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I want to say I was a bit of a trendsetter before, you know, but this isn't about me. We're here to talk about Gabby.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back.
Yeah.
It comes back. Like, for example, look at it. Look at the Uptemples.
Mm-hmm.
With the air on the side.
Yeah.
That was like, yo, like Scottie Pippen, like you wore that. It was cool. Like, it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
But it came back. Look at the Fila's.
Yeah.
Those big, chunky Fila's. It was like, who's gonna wear that?
Yeah.
But it came back.
Yeah.
And it was sneaker of the year.
Yeah.
Not because it was a great design, it was just it's time to come back.
Right.
And now it's dead. Give it another 40 years or maybe never.
Yeah.
So I never look back or I never look forward to say, oh, this sucks, man. That used to be it. Because then you sound old.
Yeah.
Or you sound like you're stuck in your ways.
Right.
And whatever business I'm in, it's all about change.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. I did a boxy for the season. I did a boxy cropped shirt, t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I don't wear that.
Yeah.
But I know where it's going. And for example, my friends, I know you, is not going to wear that.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I don't see Doug in a crop.
A lot of people.
But you know what I mean? But again,
yeah.
In my head, I was like, I don't want to be the old designer. That's crazy, huh? I'm 33 and I'm an old designer.
That is crazy.
I don't want to be the old designer fighting back and saying Generation Z, Generation, like, yeah. No, it's like, this is what's happening now.
Yeah.
Either you get with it or you lose.
Yeah.
That's what style is. You always have to keep changing.
Yeah.
And never get comfortable in your own, because it's still people now wearing big chains, like the swag days, big chains and colorful stuff and like skinny jeans and stuff, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's done.
Yeah.
But there's some people who are like,
that's what they,
you know, and they're just don't, it's just, I have a friend, he's stuck in G Unit.
Wow.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for him, it's,
that's what it is.
This is it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
And when you're older, it's harder to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But in the creative world, you always have to keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough, but it's fun.
Exactly.
It's, and it, yeah, yeah, tough and fun. All right, we're going to get towards the end of this here. We're going to do a couple of rapid-fire questions.
Let's go.
So you can give explanation to these, or you don't have to give explanation at all. Some of them will need explanation.
Cool.
The first one, super easy, 24 hours to live. What's your last meal?
Oh, it's going to be rice, plantains, fried plantains, and madesu, which is a beans that we eat in Congo, and cassava leaves. That's it.
Okay.
Right there.
What are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I'm drinking Bisop, which is a drink from West Africa. It's eclipsis? What's that word?
Eucalyptus? Eucalyptus?
Aqua de Jamaica is what they call it here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my last drink.
Okay. Beautiful.
Give me a little bit of vodka in there.
Yeah, might as well. Before I go. You know what I mean? Yeah. favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Woo! You got me there. How about we say documentaries?
Okay, yeah. I mean, is there a certain one that sticks out to you?
Last Dance.
Last Dance. Oh,
that perfect. Captured yeah. me. Yeah. That captured me.
That was, yes.
Last Dance.
And it came at a time where we were all just sitting in our homes.
Oh, man. And It was,
yeah. I rewatched it just probably a month ago. Rewatched the whole thing.
Don't blame you.
Best part about being a father?
Oh, man. Just to watch him grow and become his own and learn new things and just the beauty of life.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your whole perspective of life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, all that in one.
What was so dope about me going back and listening to the third episode of the podcast that you were on, he was just barely, you know, he was very, very young.
Yes.
And it was, I said, a new member of the father gang.
Yes.
You know, and you become quickly acclimated to that gang.
Oh, man, tell me about it, man. Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. And it's all love, man. It's some love that you never knew was existed. And like I say, cliche a little bit, but it really is. It changes your whole world.
Yeah. It's
from how I move to what I do. It's just everything is about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I love being a dad, man. And if you're a father, you already know what it is. Who are you listening to right now, music-wise? A couple of artists that you like.
Oh, man.
Doesn't even necessarily have to be new, but whatever.
Honestly, I'm going to say it's probably not mainstream in the U.S. right now, but I'm a piano. It's a genre that was created in South Africa, and it's basically house, techno, African music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you don't know, check it out. It's called I'm a Piano, so A-M-A Piano.
Okay.
And it's lit, man. Like, I design with that. I chill with that because there's lo-fi, hi-fi, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm a piano.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Mount Rushmore of clothing designers. So your four, doesn't have to be the best, but your four favorite.
Nigo, Ralph Lauren. I got Pharrell in there. Of course, you got Kanye. And is this four?
Four, I mean, yeah.
There's five in there?
Four.
Four? Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. Those are the people. Ralph is my GOAT. Ralph put me on to just branding, where it's just all across. You can make everything.
Yeah.
By the way, I was 11 years old. I came to the U.S. I wanted a SpongeBob t-shirt. My mother said, no, we're going to get you this polo right here. And it was a red Ralph Lauren polo with the black logo. And I wore that shirt from 11 to 18 years old. That's one piece of clothing where I learned quality, because I washed that thing throughout years and years and years. And that's how I knew there's a difference between something and another thing. So that red Ralph Lauren polo changed my mind as far as branding and quality.
Man, shout out to your mom. Imagine if she would have let you get that SpongeBob.
You'd be trying
to draw cartoons and being weird voices now.
It was sublimated everywhere. It was terrible. But it was at Ross, I remember, in Ogden, Utah. And that was a life changer for me, that red polo.
I love that. Last question. This is a Comey Fest, okay?
Yeah.
Four acts, dead or alive. They can be individual artists, they could be groups, but I need the four acts, and then I need the order that they're going to sing or come out in and rap or whatever in.
Okay. Nas is number one. Nas will be the last. He will close it out.
Mm.
Nas is one. Kanye West is two. I mean, you have to know, when I first moved to the U.S., Kanye, showed a blueprint of, I don't have to be a gangster, because I wasn't a gangster.
Yeah.
I wasn't a shock. You know, it was like, yo, he's wearing polos and rapping about his mom.
Yeah.
That hit me.
Yeah.
So, Kanye is there. And two more?
Yep. Again, dead or alive.
Dead or alive. Tupac. Tupac, because he was so big in Africa. Big as in, I never listened to one of his songs when I was in Africa, but his t-shirts were everywhere.
Wow.
Taxi drivers, everyone had a Tupac t-shirt. So Tupac, for sure. So is it Nas?
Kanye, Tupac.
And, man, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but there's this artist. He's from Ivory Coast. For me, he's my GOAT as far as inspiration.
Okay.
No one really knows him here. I mean, saying on this podcast, I'd be like, who the fuck is this? But his name is DJ Arafat. So he was just a guy from the slums that came up, got big, blew up, and RIP, he passed away at an early age. But he's an inspo for me, because he grew up around where I grew up, got big, toured the world. So, yeah. DJ Arafat, okay. RIP.
So, Nas is closing?
Nas is closing.
Who's opening?
Kanye's opening.
Okay.
Kanye's opening.
He's going to be upset about that, by the way. But you know what? It's your show.
What the fuck, Kanye? You opening my shit? That's weird to say, huh?
Yeah.
Man, we can all dream, can we?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Kanye, Arafat.
Okay. Pac, Nas.
Pac.
That's great.
And Nas. And they're going to do a feat together, all of them.
Okay.
To close it out.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great, bro. All right. Before we head out, obviously let people know where they can find you from your clothing brand,
yes,
as well as if they're looking to do some production, as you had talked about.
Oh, for sure. So you can find me on Instagram. It's akomi.us. So it's akomi.us. That's where you can find me. You can DM me. You can let me know what's up. And same thing as if you need any production work done, I'm there too. And I kind of want to speak to the creator out there starting, the creator out there that's in the middle of doing something. Guys, keep going. I've been in this game for about 10 years, and it's been a struggle from any part of life, financial, spiritual, physical, mental. But if it's something you're bound to make it happen for yourself, it's going to be true because that story will be true. It's not going to be a facade. It's going to be real. So I encourage everyone out there that's a creative, Doug, your friends, anyone around you, like I really want them to believe that they can make it happen. I literally just dropped my documentary last week. And after that, I had a talk and there was a bunch of creatives there. And it's like, you can make it happen. It took me 10 years to get to this point where I can drop a 10-minute documentary. And that was a dream of mine starting out. So anything is possible as long as you're true to the art. If you want to be cool and famous, that's another thing. But as far as being true to yourself and making something that where you push yourself, that's where the real results come in. And don't expect it to come in a year or two. It might happen, but be dedicated for a lifetime because that's when you have breakthroughs. There'll be ups and downs, but I really believe if you really trust in your instincts and you start it for the right reasons, the sky's the limit. So I truly believe that.
Yeah, no, I do too. I do too. Keep doing your thing, my friend. You know, you always have my support. Anything I can do for you, let me know. Thank you for the gift. I'm excited for those. And I got to pick up some clothes while I'm here too, if you have some. If not, I'll just order it online.
I got it.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys very much. Again, Gabby Okito, owner of Acomi. We will see you next time. Peace.
Arriving is a starting point. Let's go.
I hope you all enjoyed the interview with Gabby this week of Acomi Clothing. Make sure you check out his clothing line. A lot of nice stuff. I wear quite a bit of it on different video podcasts that you may see on YouTube. Next week, we have an interview with a producer here in Salt Lake City, Utah, named Looney Got the Tune. So look forward to that. I'm sure we'll cover some NFL, some NBA topics, if there's any real movement or things to talk about. But until then, make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram at The Will Wonder Pod, on Threads at The Will Wonder Pod, on, goddammit, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at DJ Will Wonder, YouTube, The Will Wonder Pod. Please, please, please vote for The Will Wonder Pod as best local podcast in City Weekly. The link to that will be in the podcast description. Remember, best local podcast is in media, politics, and people. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will see y'all next week. Peace.
This has been a March 15th Media production. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review The Will Wonder Pod. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Peace out.